Amen. Boy, it's a good place to be this morning. God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our testimonies. He is worthy of our efforts. He is worthy of each and everything. I'm really excited about this sermon, and I'm still kind of excited about the sermon he gave me last week. And I'm going to begin with a little bit of a recap of that, that took me right into what the Lord has laid on me throughout this week. And it's talking about God's will. It was written by brothers named Henry and Richard Blackaby. And the one question that they asked, where they was talking about God's will, it just struck me so hard that I got it out and shared it with Bill and Kate at the house Monday. How I never really looked at it that way. And most of us, I would think, if we are honest, because we're all selfish, we are, it's in our nature, that we ask the question, what is God's will for me? Okay? And most everybody will agree, because all of us have probably asked that question if you have a relationship with the Lord. And they said that's the wrong question to begin with. It's not a wrong question overall. But the real question is, what is God's will? Man, we really hit on it this morning in my digging. And there again, mind you, this is such a small mind and such a big topic, God's will. Now, God's will is overwhelming. But we're going to hit it and we're going to realize, man, my studies and my meditation and thinking about it all this week is how it boils down to one thing. Now think about that. Think about God's will throughout this great big world, because He willed everything into existence. Amen. Right? And it's going to come down to one thing. It is so awesome. It's exciting. And yes, Greg, when you study for a sermon, I'm sure Dave will say the same thing. God will bless, and I remember telling Debbie, I hope I can get out of me what God has put into me. How excited I got sitting there at that desk looking over the scriptures and thinking, oh man, I hope I can convey this. And really, it's just words. As I was sitting there thinking, I don't want to use the Word of God to support what I'm trying to say. I want my words to support what the Word of God says. That's the bottom line. I want to get out of the way. Dave will tell you the same thing. We want to get out of the way and let God be proclaimed. So I'm really excited. I don't know if I'll ever get started. I'm just excited about what the Lord has done, what He's going to do, and what I've learned about God's will. Okay, we're going to start out. I'm going to read the scripture from last week's sermon. I'm going to read Acts chapter 17. If you would, turn there and we'll read there, and then I'm going to let her loose, see what the Lord does. Acts chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 22 through 27, and the key verse is going to be verse 27. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through 27 says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worshipped, him declare I unto you." Verse 24. Now he's going to tell them right here who this unknown God is to them. Verse 24 says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Verse 25 says, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Boy, that's pretty clear right there, isn't it? That really jumps out in this world today of racism and bias and this and that. It is one blood created by one God to live in one world. Agreed, if you're biased, you need to pray much about that, because we are all created by one Creator. Verse 26 again, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27 is key, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Let us pray. Lord, again, as we're here this morning, Lord, by the road right here in little old West Virginia, in little old Jackson County, Lord, we praise your name, knowing you are the big God, and you know exactly where we're at. You know every heart that's in this building today. I ask, Lord, that you stir us as only you can through your word. I ask for you to guide us through your word that's laid open before us. And I ask for you to help us to remain focused on the task at hand. Again, I ask for you to forgive me. I pray you'll give me the words that only come from you and guide me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I do pray for those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, for those traveling, whatever it might be, Lord, just wrap your loving arms around them. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, just a quick recap on that. On last week's sermon was having a personal relationship with God. Now, what brought that about was I think about my son Billy, and he's my son, but we're buddies. We care about one another. We'll talk to each other on the phone or text or whatever, but I got to literally get in my car and drive over there. So I was thinking about that personal relationship with God that we can get into, that we got to get in the car and drive somewhere to have a relationship with God. Now, let that fall where it lies, but if that's our mindset, we're really not having a personal relationship with God if we got to get in the car and drive to church. Okay, so that is just a recap. To whom Paul described him right there, to whom we are to have a personal relationship. In Exodus 3, God told Moses to tell them, I am that I am. That's who we're to have a personal relationship with. When is seek ye first the kingdom of God, pray without ceasing, study, that's when, that's at all times. Where, all places. Just a few quick notes. Romans 1:16, Paul says, all places to all people means openly to have a relationship with God. Privately is in our prayer closets to have a relationship, personal relationship with God. And together, right now, we're having a personal relationship with God. I pray that your intentions this morning, that you come here with your heart open, asking the Lord to move upon us, to guide us, that we are able to come together and praise and worship and lift His name up through song, testimony, the preached word, through lessons from Sunday school. That's a personal relationship with God. So, I was thinking, as I was thinking about God and who He is and who I'm having a personal relationship, I can't help but think, God, what's your will for me? And then I run across that question. What's God's will? We're going to learn a little bit about we know who God is. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, I love that scripture right there. That scripture has grown to me so much in the last few years that is so powerful that I took it for granted. You know, you say just in the beginning God created. Hey, listen to what it says. In the beginning, that's God. God was there in any beginning that we can comprehend. So that tells me God was there beforehand. God is God. That's who we can have a personal relationship. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty, you know what? I realized right then, that's God's will without me. It's not that will for me. That's God's will. And then if you read the whole first chapter, you'll see where he goes into definition where he created everything. He created man. And I think about when he would walk through the garden. His will was to have a relationship with Adam and Eve, a relationship with Dave and Tink, a relationship with Doug and Lucinda, a relationship with each and every one of us. That is God's will. Now, what happened there? Was it God's will that we fell into sin?
No, sir.
No, sir. What got in the way? My will. We hit on that this morning. Who hung Jesus on the cross? I did. So, that's why I think they emphasize the question that we need to come to terms with is what is God's will? Now, we already saw right there in Genesis chapter 1, God's will is for him to walk, was for him to walk amongst us in harmony, but our will got in the way. So, let's just talk about what is God's will. I'm going to read Matthew. Use all around the scriptures this morning, Greg. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. And we've said this morning. Everybody knows what it is. Now listen to the words. Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13 says, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye." He's talking to us, folks. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come," listen to this right here, "thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Back up, verse 10, "thy will be done in earth and in heaven." Did you ever ask, what is it? What is your God? What is your will? Okay, we'll keep going. Let's go to Matthew 26. Just a couple pages to the right. Matthew 26. Going to read 36 through 42. Matthew 26. Read verse 36 through 42. Says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Verse 37. "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, Jesus was God in the flesh,
amen.
Correct?
Amen.
He was born of a virgin, and when it says he was born of water, that means the physical birth. What will was trying to get in the way of God's will right there? The flesh. The flesh. So Jesus is we can see, we're talking about our will, our fleshly will. What is God's will? Now, we know what Jesus went on and done, but somebody that wouldn't know, they would say, well, what's God's will? And the disciples right then, They didn't understand what God's will was. They didn't know why he was going to do what he had to do. They really didn't even know what he was doing. So let's ask the question again. God's will, what is it? We're going to start right now in John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 31 through 36. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 36. We're just going to hit some spots here, and God's going to reveal his will to us right here through his word. And mind you, this whole book is full of God's will. If we'd realize that, we have God's will in our hand. We have God's will at our immediate access. And if you're like me, I got God's will in 10 different places laying at the house. And I remember when I didn't pick none of them up. What got in the way? Jamie's will. Right? Okay. John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 31 through 36. And this is Jesus speaking to us. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 31 says, Therefore said the disciples one to another, Have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, quote, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now listen, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. He's talking to us right now. He's telling us a bit what his will is right now. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white, ready to harvest. Jesus is telling us God's will. He's talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us right here this morning on this August the 12th, 2018 at Drift Run Church on a Sunday morning. He's telling us right now, for they are white already for harvest, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Amen.
And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye also entered into their labors. Greg hit on that this morning. If we're to go out there, it's ripe. People want to hear the word of God. People need to hear about Jesus. People need to see Jesus living in our lives. It's ripe out there. And Greg hit on that this morning. We see a need out there, we are to meet it. And we can rejoice with our friends and our brothers, folks that maybe something, maybe Greg has witnessed to and received the Lord. They can rejoice together, not anything that Greg has done, not anything this guy has done, but all about what Jesus has done. They can rejoice in the finished work of Christ. They heard the gospel. That is the will of God, is that we could all go out and share the gospel of Christ. We can all live a Christ-like life. 2 Peter, here's another one of what the will of God is. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12 says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We've heard that over and over and over again. Listen what he says. The Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward. Key verse, God's will. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. It's never his will to send anybody to hell. Never. That's God's will. Now we're going to talk about, I'm getting near the end. We're going to talk about some actions of what we just learned. Okay, what did we learn God's will is? Is to go forth and spread the gospel. He tells us it's ready. You know, and there's so many scriptures in there. He tells us he even prepares a way. Well, I'm afraid. Well, don't be afraid. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of courage and confidence. Go out into the fields. When you go out to pluck the ears of corn, you go out there and just rip them off. You don't sneak up on them. Hey, that's the way it is as a Christian. We need to go out and share the gospel. Now, we've talked a lot about this on our Wednesday nights. You don't run out there beating them over the head with the Bible. I don't run down the road with a machete saying, in Jesus' name do I pluck these ears of corn. No, I go out and I'll pluck them confidently and boldly. And you can do that. You can live a Christian life confidently and boldly and share the gospel. That's the will of God. Ephesians 6:6, we're going to talk about some actions to what we've learned. As we're going forward, as we know, as we've learned the will of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And the note I have out is doing the will of God from our heart. You know, just a quick statement on that. I've been thinking recently, I can dress up as Jesus and be evil within, and what's going to be revealed? The evil within. What's in you is going to come out. If you got Jesus in your heart, it don't matter what you got on the outside. If you got Jesus in your heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. So, Ephesians chapter 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now that should make us all take a look deep inside. Am I doing my will to try to please God? Or am I making myself available for God to do His will through me? I remember John Arnold told me one time, just be willing to be willing. And you know what that means? I don't know what God has in store for me, but I'm willing to do it.
Amen.
Think about that. Now, I remember there was a time I wasn't going to do something unless I knew how it was going to go and what I was going to get out of it. But God's talking about taking us to a place where we can step out that door. We're willing to step out that door and go wherever He wants you to go. And I mean, be willing, whether you work there, or there, that's not the part of God's will. It's what you're doing while you're there, and there. Man, that's powerful stuff right there. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, I'm going to read verses 37 through 40. This is the pinnacle of God's will. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. That's telling you, no matter what your calling is, no matter where you're at, we talked about being willing to go wherever to do God's will, but to do it while we're there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, I was sitting there thinking about it this morning. We talk a lot about loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And we all have different callings. But we have one focus.
Amen.
That is the will of God. Now, listen. I've got to hit one more. Let's go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. Psalm 143, 8 through 11. It says, call me to hear thy loving kindness. Now, think about this. This it was David's prayer. This needs to be our prayer right now. Right this very minute. If this has stirred your heart any, now would be the time to come and pray this prayer. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. What a prayer. And what was David seeking? God's will.
Amen.
You can seek that right now. You know, I've been a Christian a long time. I remember when something happened to me when I was a little feller at Shepherd's Chapel Church up the road there, back in the revival days when churches was full and preaching was, well, Grandpa go out one door and come back in the other. He'd go outside and preach a bit. Yeah, there was people looking in the windows. But I remember something happened to me that day. Something stirred inside of me. I was a little fella. I didn't know what was going on, but I went to the altar. And then through the years, I think I was about 18 or 19 years old. And I've been hanging around this John Arnold guy you hear me talk about a lot. But he had introduced me to grace. He helped me to understand faith. Helped me to understand that I put my trust in Jesus. That I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
That's right.
And I'm on my way home in a truck. You know, this is when I was 18, had her all. My billfold was fat. I worked at Ames, you know, and I had a new truck and a tank full of gas. I got her. That convicting spirit hit me one night on Tucker's Creek Road, and I stopped, and I confessed Christ. I just did all that I knew to do within me to make sure that I was saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
And here we are today. David's prayer right now can be your prayer. I'm going to read that and read that again. That really, really got out. Is that our heart this morning? Is that your desire to seek God's will? Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Do you trust fully in God's will this morning? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, if you want to know, he'll show you. You want to know, he'll lead you. It's all right here. I think Dave or one of us preached a sermon about the want to. Sometimes boils down to the want to. Do I want to go left or do I want to go right? Do I want to go fishing? Do I want to go hunting? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? Do I want to go to church or do I not? Do I want to read the Bible or do I not? There you go. I was thinking this morning, every book I read, I've read two or three books that my friend Chuck back there has brought in. Very encouraging, very sound prophecy. I'll just say. It's about end times ministry. But anyways, those books are, this book I'm reading right now is so encouraging. And I remember there was a time if it didn't have a picture of a motorcycle in front of it, I wouldn't even pick it up. Seriously, yeah. And, you know, I'll leave that at that too. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. He wants you to know his will. He wants to teach you his will. And then what his will for you will take care of itself. You be willing to do his will all the time, anywhere, and he'll take care of the rest of it. I'm going to finish up right here. Choose to go, do God's will wherever, whenever, but I'm going to finish up right here because I think of the question, we're going to be in Romans 8:28, and everybody knows that verse, Romans 8:28, but I couldn't help but think about, is it God's will that Jillian's sick all the time? Is it God's will that Regina has the surgeries? Is it God's will that all this? No, it is not. Regina's testimony was spot on. She was doing the will of God in her situation. It means seeking God's will at all times. Here's Jillian. She's in the hospital, you know, and we've been praying for her, and she, you know what she goes through. But yet she's calling people to pray for this other person that was sick or something. I can't remember. But that's doing the will of God at all times. Amen. That's God's will, is to reach out, to support, to love others. The bottom line of it is the love of the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And the rest of it will take care of itself. If you come and get a song.